Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
I feel like God had been, speaking so much and putting so much passion in my heart like for so many years, but college year was like a line in the sand moment where everything that God had been building in me actually just built to this one place where I said, you know what, there's no turning back. This is where my life is headed. I'm going after the things of God. And it really started to make me dream again. I had things where I thought that would be awesome. I love what they're doing, but I didn't have faith that I could do it myself. But God started to declare, you know what, I am your God and wherever I lead you, you just follow and you're going to be amazed. And so for me, it's been a year of no looking back, no turning back, but just keep on running after the things of God. And you learn so much, seriously. I learned about who my God is and it gives me faith that He is good. He's never changing. And so I really encourage you, seriously. It's one of the best things I've ever done.
What would you say to someone who's like praying and considering, but is in two minds about it?
Just do it, eh? That's what I did. I went up to someone and I was like, hey, I'm thinking of going to uni and doing this. I don't really want to do it though, but I also think about Bible college and they said just do it, and so I did it. So that's my advice to you. Just do it, seriously. What's the worst that could happen? Because I can tell you the best thing that could happen is God will rock up, change your life, and you will be blown away. You don't want to miss out. You really don't.
Yeah, it's so good. And in 2020, I want to encourage you, registrations are open. If you are praying about it, you're considering it, we have made it, I reckon. So close your ears, you alumni people. It is going to be the best year yet. We've made it accessible so that you can still work 4 out of the 5 working days and have a day here at college and a night. And on Sunday, you get insight into the inner workings of church leadership. And the 3 things I believe that our church does really well in imparting into you, and that is theology, that's leadership, and that's discipleship. And all that is in this house will get inside of you. And so I want to encourage you to really prayerfully consider your life is purpose, Nations College. The registrations are open. This prospectus is available for you at the booth at the back of the auditorium. But tonight, why don't you give another hand to Pastor Eli as he gives the word. Go
Thank
for it.
Thank you so much. Awesome. I was kind of expecting at this point, I would say, awesome, you can take your seats, but you guys have already grabbed them, obviously. So we're just going to get right on into it. Awesome. I had this verse I wanted to share as a part of the message, but it didn't really fit, and so I'm just going to share it before I start preaching. Is that all right? You got to work things your own way, you know. There's a verse, Romans 10, verse 17, and it's actually been so powerful for me in my life. It's actually set a few things into place that I hadn't had before, and I want to speak it into this place tonight, and then we're going to go there. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If faith comes by hearing our God, and hearing comes by His word, then the word of God is one of the most powerful things you'll ever put your eyes on. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It has the power to transform your life, to set you apart. And I really want to encourage you tonight. We're reading from this book. Be expectant. Lean in, because I might be speaking, but God is the one that wants to speak to you tonight. The word of God is where we gain our faith, where we see our world rocked by what God is doing inside of us. Amen? Amen. Awesome. Cool. I'm going to pray. We're going to get into it. Let's go, hey. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you that before I was even born, you had a plan for tonight. You had a plan for each and every one of us. And I pray that you would speak to us right where we're at, that it would feel like you're downloading your heart into every single person in this place. We are so hungry. We're excited, expectant. In the name of Jesus, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Awesome. That was great, guys. Great participation. Let's get into it. Acts 13. Verse 13 to 52, don't worry, I'm not reading the whole thing like this morning. It was a lot this morning, so we're just going to do a couple chunks here and there. We're going to read from verse 13. I'll give you some context. It says, Paul and his companions then left Paphos by ship for Pamphylia, landing at the port town of Persia. There, John Mark left them and returned to Jerusalem. But Paul and Barnabas traveled inland to Antioch of Pisidia. On the Sabbath, they went to the synagogue for the services. After the usual readings from the book of Moses and the prophets, those in charge of the service sent them this message. Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, come and give it. So Paul stood, lifted his hands to quiet them and started speaking. Men of Israel, he said, and you God-fearing Gentiles, listen to me. And he started speaking to these guys here right in that moment. They'd been given license to come and speak on the stage and to a whole bunch of people that maybe had never heard the gospel message before. They started sharing about the history of a God that was all throughout Israel's history, a God that cared from the very beginning to the point where they were right then and there. They started sharing about the times when Israel was led throughout the 40 years in the wilderness to the promised land, where they were delivered, where there were judges that would rule over the land, where a king would be appointed, where a king that the people had chosen and then a king that God had chosen was appointed. Later on, 14 generations later, they would find the king of all, Jesus, seated on the throne, the lineage of David, and he speaks into this. He speaks the gospel message that there is a king that is seated on the throne forever. There is a king that rules over all. There is a king that loved us enough to come and give his life for us. That king is Jesus. And so we jump back into verse, I can't see it, the number's so small, and this is shaking. Number 26, I think. Oh, all the best if it's the wrong one. Brothers, you sons of Abraham, and also you God-fearing Gentiles, this message of salvation has been sent to us. The people in Jerusalem and their leaders did not recognize Jesus as the one the prophets had spoken about. Instead, they condemned him. And in doing this, they fulfilled the prophet's words that are read every Sabbath. They found no legal reason to execute him, but they asked Pilate to have him killed anyway. When they had done all the prophecies said about him, they took him down from the cross and placed him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and over a period of many days, he appeared to those who had gone with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to the people of Israel. And we jump to verse 38. Brothers, listen, we're here to proclaim that through this man, Jesus, there is forgiveness for your sins. Everyone who believes in him is made right in God's sight. Something the law of Moses could never do. Jump to verse 42. As Paul and Barnabas left the synagogue that day, the people begged them to speak about these things again the next week. Many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, and the two men urged them to continue to rely on the grace of God. The following week, almost the entire city, that's crazy. Can you imagine that? An entire city turned out to hear them preach the word of the Lord. But then, when some of the Jews saw the crowds, they were jealous. So they slandered Paul and argued against whatever he said. Then Paul and Barnabas, in response to that, they spoke out boldly and declared, "It was necessary that we first preach the word of God to you Jews, but since you have rejected it and judged yourselves worthy of unworthy of eternal life, we offer it to the Gentiles. For the Lord gave us this command when he said, 'I have made you a light to the Gentiles to bring salvation to the farthest corners of the earth.'" Yes, to Australia. When the Gentiles heard this, they were very glad and thanked the Lord for this message. And all who were chosen for eternal life became believers. So the Lord's message spread throughout that region. And then we hear something a little different. Verse 50, then the Jews stirred up the influential religious women and leaders of the city, and they incited a mob against Paul and Barnabas and ran them out of town. These are the same ones that were jealous just a few verses earlier. But here's where it gets a little crazy. Paul and Barnabas, it says, verse 51, so they shook the dust from their feet as a sign of rejection and went to the town of Iconium. And the believers were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit. It's a crazy passage. I read a lot, but I really want to bring it down to this one point, which is the title for my message. Shake the dust. Shake the dust. Turn to your neighbor and say, shake the dust. Who's your neighbor? The person next to you. But yeah, shake the dust. Verse 51, they shook the dust from their feet and they kept on going because you know what? Just because they were rejected didn't mean that the mission was over. There was more in store for them. There was greater things ahead of them. And so they just kept on going. They shook the dust from their very feet. And what's crazy is the symbolism of what they actually did. It was directly in line with what Jesus had spoken to them in Luke chapter 10, verse 10, just a few passages earlier in the Bible. Jesus speaking to his disciples, he said, "But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'We wipe even the dust of your town from our feet,' to show that we have abandoned you to your fate." It might sound a little hectic, but the crazy thing is Paul and Barnabas, they took this one truth and they ran with it. They realized this powerful truth. It's not up to them how people respond to the message of God. It's not up to them. But what is up to them is how they will respond to the rejection, the hurt, the pain, the situations that come against in those moments. Because let me tell you, God has a plan. And yes, the enemy doesn't want for it to go ahead. The enemy is going to try and attack. People are going to come against. There will be dust. There will be things that come against. They understood this truth. And the same thing is true for us. It's not up to us how people will respond to the message, to the love of our Jesus, but it is up to us how we choose to respond to the hurt, to the pain, to the backlash, the rejection, attack, discouragement, disappointment, abandonment, when we feel hard pressed on all sides, when things don't go the way we think they should, when we feel alone, when everything feels so distant from the promise that God gave us. It is up to us. How am I going to respond to that situation? Am I going to walk with that and take that with me, the pain, the hurt, rejection, or am I just like these two men going to shake my feet? That dust is not going with me. It's not going and taking another step in the direction that I go after my King. We have a choice. One, we could walk in the disappointment and carry that dust with us wherever we go. That dust from that town, that situation, that pain, whether it was years ago or a few days ago, whether it was with family or work, whatever it may be, we could choose to walk with that, or we can choose to shake the dust from our feet. If it's not from God, it's not going with me. It's not going to go another step in the direction that I'm going. I love Hebrews 12, verse 1. Seriously, I love this passage. It's so good. It says, therefore, everyone say, therefore. Great. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. The reality is that there will always be dust. There'll always be opportunities to be hurt. There'll always be opportunities to carry things with us that God never designed us to carry. There'll always be opportunities to respond and walk away from a situation where Paul and Barnabas found themselves and think, you know what? I don't know if I want to keep on going and doing the same thing. I've been rejected town after town after town. I don't know if I want to go to the next one. There's opportunity to ride with your dust everywhere you go. There is always opportunity, but it is up to us whether we let it settle or not, whether we hang up our faith to collect even more dust as the years go by. God never created the dust. He never created the hurt, the pain, the things that we so often hold on to and use as a crutch as we go through life. But we weren't called to walk on a crutch. We were called to run after the things of God. We were called to be excited about what He has in store for us. And so I want to really encourage you, run after the promises of God. It might not be easy, but that verse says that there is a great cloud of witnesses. All of heaven is cheering you on. All of heaven is championing you on. Can you see Jesus has a plan? He is cheering you on in this amazing life you get to live. And yes, there are bumps along the way, but the one thing that remains is Jesus. One thing that remains. I love the whole picture of just, you know, shaking the dust. It's, for me, it's like a declaration. As I begin to read this, let me grab some water. Wow, my lips were so dry. Where was I? It's like this declaration. when you shake the dust, you need to understand that you're not just doing this symbol, this thing that Jesus told you to do, right? When he tells us to do something, it's for a purpose. There is so much purpose in what he says for us to do. When we shake the dust, we're declaring that the world no longer has power to impact me. Through Jesus, I'm the one that has power to impact the world. You see, we so often get caught up with the world impacting me, and this happened to me years ago. I don't know what's going on. How can I live an amazing life when this happened to me? It's unfair. This person has this going on for them, and it's awesome, but if only I had that. You know what? The world, if we only saw it this way, does not have power to impact us. I'm the one with Jesus on my side that has power to impact my world, that has power to impact my family, generations to come, that has power to impact the things that go on along. The situation won't dictate who I become. I dictate what comes of my situation. I dictate the person that I become because I know who I belong to. I know whose I am, and therefore I know who I'm going to be. I know who I'm going to be on the other side of these hurdles, on the other side of it all. Declaration number two. We will see God's purposes fulfilled in our lives. When we shake the dust off our feet, we're going to see God's purposes fulfilled because no longer is it coming with us. No longer is the hurt or the pain. The one thing that stays is faith. faithfulness. And we are going to see those things. We've got a mandate over our household, and it's not just some slogan. It is something that God has declared over us. We will see the lost found. We will see disciples made. We will see nations reached with the love of Jesus. We just need to make sure that we don't allow the dust to become too dusty and fog up our vision of what God has in store for us. When we start to clear and shake it away, we begin to see that the mission that God has put in our lives is to transform our world. What He spoke once is alive and active today. What He spoke once for people years ago is what He's speaking over you and me. Would we begin to shake the dust and to declare that, you know what? God has greater things in store for me. This mandate isn't something that we're just going to look and read on a wall. It's something we are going to walk into as a house of God. Come on. You should be excited about that. It's an amazing mandate. The third one, I've been speaking about it the whole way through. No rejection, no disappointment, no accusation of the enemy, pressures from work, you fill in the blank. Nothing is going to be able to stick with me. Maybe you're saying, you don't know, you haven't been through what I've been through. I haven't. But I know that there is a God that cares about you and has been watching. He's been in every situation, and His heart breaks for you in situations and circumstances, but He is championing you on and saying, you can do this. My grace is sufficient. No matter what has gone on in your life, you have the power to shake off the dust. Maybe you're not going to do it all in one hit, but I promise you, as you begin to say, God, I'm going to take one step. I'm just going to shake a little bit here. Shake it off. Taylor Swift. Shake a bit off as you go. God has power and grace to be able to remove all the dust that clears, to clear your vision, to set you in line for the things He has in plan for you. No matter what it was, fill in the blank. It will not stick to me. It's not going where I'm going because Jesus is leading me. None of these things. I got a quick story. It probably sounds a bit blunt, but my brother... he's great. He's awesome. I was trying to think about, you know how you do a compliment sandwich and you say a nice thing so you can say something mean and then you cut it off in the other. He's great. He really is. I was trying to think about why I wanted to share this story, and it kind of clicked. It's because he preached a while ago and shared a story that was a bit of a dig at me, and so now it's my turn. So Ben, if you're on the podcast, thank you. You're awesome. So pretty much, my brother, we're in primary school. He was about kindergarten, pre-primary. He loved the playground. He loved just having a good time, eating dirt as he'd go down the... I don't know if he ate dirt, but he'd just have dirt, like sand, all over him. He probably didn't. I'm bagging him out. But he'd come home every single day, and you'd just walk in the front door, and you'd see this trail of sand, and you're like, where is this going? And you'd walk all the way into the lounge room where there'd be a TV screen, and this pile of dirt tipped out on the floor next to his shoes, and you'd be like, Ben, every single day of your life, we have told you to tip your shoes out in the playground where the sand belongs, not in the living room, not right here. Is that right? Thank you, Mum. Awesome. He tipped out the sand everywhere. And it might sound all funny and like games and stuff, but the reality is the sand is created to stay in that sandpit. It's meant to stay there and not create a mess wherever we go. The dust that came upon you, the dust that could so easily get caught on you in your situation is designed to stay where it was. Because I'm marching on out of here as more than an overcomer in Christ into the things of God. And the dust, the pain, the hurt is not going with me. I love 1 Corinthians. I said 13 Corinthians this morning. There is not 13 Corinthians books. And I could be disappointed by what I said and walk in that dust, but I didn't. You getting me? Cool? You getting me? No, I didn't. It's awesome. So good. So 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, it says three things remain. Faith, hope, and love. Three things remain. Everything else will perish. Everything in this life won't last, but those three things remain. I don't want to get so busy caught up in these things, these little bits of dust that in the grand scheme of things mean nothing. When I could be caught in the three things that remain. You know, this life, it's up and down. There's highlights, there's lowlights, there's a whole bunch of things that happen in between. But the three things that will remain, faith, hope, love. And you know who embodies those? Our God. Our God exemplifies every one of those things in an amazing way. And you know, I don't want to be just on this roller coaster where my life is up and down. I want to be living up here. How do we do that? We do that by living by faith alone, by living in what our God has in store for us. And how do we do that? By shaking off the dust. I don't want it to go with me. It's not going to go with me. I'm going to walk after all the things that Jesus has. Because you see, if we have dust on the bottom of our feet, we might be going after what God has for us, but every step I'm leaving a trail of where I'm going. I'm still stepping on the bottom of my soles and my shoes. What's on them? Dust. What's on them? Disappointment. Yes, I'm trying to walk in faith, but on the bottom, behind it all, there's really a disappointment under the surface. And how can I step into the things of God when I'm carrying that dust with me wherever I go? How can I walk in His purposes when that's with me every single step of the way? I had a dream. This isn't one of those speeches that you've heard in history. I have a dream. I had a dream years ago, and thank you. You guys are great. You guys are awesome. Hey, seriously. I had a dream years ago, and I've got this journal, and the very first thing I wrote in this journal, I go back and I look at it every now and then. It's awesome, hey. I remember, just in this dream, I was walking down this hospital, walking down this alleyway, and I looked into one of the rooms, and in the hospital bed was this young little girl who had both her ears were singed. She couldn't hear anything, and instantly, like the first thing I did was I just went up to her, and I put my hands on her ears, and I said, in the name of Jesus, you are healed right now. I took my hands off her ears, and she was completely healed. She had the most joyous face I've ever seen. And I don't remember dreams. So when I do, I know they're from God. And I wrote that down. And I was like, you know what, God? You don't just give things. You don't put dreams in the hearts of your people for no reason. You put them there because you want us to step into them. You put them there to show what is possible in our lives. And so from that moment, I decided, you know what? I'm not just going to hear about it. I'm going to walk in it. And so I stepped out and I started praying for people, started praying for the sick. I saw crutches. I heard them. And I was like, where are you? Where is the crutches? There's crutches somewhere. I know there's crutches. I'm not crazy. And I would go and I'd pray for people. But what happened over time was where I'd start to step out, I prayed for the first person and faith-filled Eli was excited but then didn't see the miracle. And so he kept on stepping out and prayed for another person, didn't see the miracle time and time again. And eventually I got to this point where I was like, why, God, you gave me this dream. Why am I not stepping into the miracle that you have in store? Why am I not stepping into it? And I just decided to shelve my faith and it built more and more dust. And it's a hard place to live as a dusty Christian. It's also probably not a good insult to say to someone, you're dusty Christian. But but I ended up a few weeks ago at this conference. It was Power and Love. It was awesome. It was so good. Seriously, I loved it. And we went out during the lunch breaks and they called them outreach gaps. And so during lunch, you'd get your lunch. It was awesome. And then you'd outreach. And so I went, we're talking to people, praying for people. And I thought, sweet, I'm ready to go back. Tick that box. Let's go. And as I was walking up, I just out of the corner of my eye, I saw this girl just sitting down and she was smoking. Smoking a cigarette, not smoking. No, she was smoking a cigarette. And so I went and I sat with her. Gee. Get yourself together, guys. Seriously, I'm trying to preach. You're laughing. Anyway, I went and I sat with her. Gee, I sat with her. And I was talking. And she had headphones in. So I was just like, hey, just pull them out. And so I just started talking. And I said, hey, this might sound so random, but God loves you so much. And he sees you. He cares about you. And you matter so much to him. And I said, hey, what do you think about that? And one thing I've learned in evangelism is it's better for us to just listen and hear the heart of people. Rather than to feel like I need to know all the things to say, it's just sit and listen and see what God puts on your heart in those moments. And so I sat and I heard her and she said, I don't know if I can believe in this God. If he's real, then why did these things happen to me? Why is this all happening to me? Why would he cause this pain and this hurt? And after a while of talking, she started to break down and I just began to speak to her and say, you know what, God doesn't cause this. But every single step of the way, he actually cares so much. What breaks your heart breaks his. He has a plan for your life. And I began to speak a little bit of life. And eventually we got to this point where I could just see she wanted the God that I had in my life. And so I asked her, hey, this is probably going to sound outrageous, but do you want to invite God into your life? And she said, yeah, I actually do. And so we sat, we prayed that prayer, invited God into our life. And it was awesome. And that moment right then and there flicked a switch in me. I don't want to miss a single moment. I don't. There is so much opportunity around me. Seriously, there's a world of opportunity, a world that is crying out for what you and me have. Would we be just so audacious to step out of our comfort zone and to say, hey, God loves you? Or just take one step. Just take one step at a time and not rock the disappointment, not rock the pain or anything. We are called to shake it off and keep on pressing forward. But as I did that, I realized that there is one thing that I'm sticking to, this one line. I don't want to just read about the things that God has done. I want to write about the things that he's doing right now. I don't want to just read about what the Bible says. I want to write about what he's doing in my life. I want us to be able to write about what he's doing, to fill out those praise reports, to be excited, to be believing for even greater things in the days to come. Because you've got to see, dust is dangerous. It doesn't look like much. But when it's there, it's a sign of things that are going unused. It's a sign of things that aren't being used for their purpose, that aren't being used for what they were created for. Dust builds up gradually over time. When we start to bench our faith and put it up on the shelf, all of a sudden we feel like we can't use it anymore. We feel like it's written off. We feel like we can't step into the things of God. Dust builds up over time. It doesn't just bang, there it is. It builds up over time. And so we are called to not allow the dust to build up, the pain and the hurt to go with us and build up in our lives. We're called to shake it off every single day, to shake the dust from our feet so we can say, yes, there may be things that are coming against, but you will not stick with me because my God is faith, hope, and love. My God is Jehovah. My God is going to lead me through this. We are called to be people of faith. I'd love to share a couple stories if that's cool, just a couple more. Yeah, youth last year, there was a girl that walked in and I was like, oh, hey, how's it going? And she said, oh, she had her voice was lost. And so that's why I didn't sound like I was saying much. But I didn't know what to do. She lost her voice. And so I just kept on walking. I was like, cool, 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 cool. And we got to the pre-service prayer moment all of a sudden. And I was about to say, hey, you know what? God can heal. He has a plan for tonight. He has amazing purposes. And all of a sudden it dropped. You're going to speak these things, but you're not stepping in them. What is going on here? What is going on here right now? And God said in that moment, do you believe that I am healer? And I just had to drop it all. You know what? He is healer. And so right then and there, we just said, hey, can we pray for you? We're going to see you get healed right here, right now. And I asked, is someone here filled with faith? And this awesome guy named Declan said, yeah, let's pray. Come on. And so he prayed. And after the first time, a voice started coming back. We didn't stop then and there. We kept on going. And like within probably 5 minutes, her voice was completely back. It'd gone from nothing to completely. Yeah, you can give God praise for that. It's so cool. We could have stopped. We could have, yeah, awesome worship team. We could have stopped along the way. We could have paused and not realized that there was complete healing that could have been in that moment. I got one more story, if that's cool. Service station. All the great stories happen at service stations in Australia. So I was filling up my car, as you do, unless you have a conviction about riding bicycles, or each to their own. Anyway, I was at the fuel station, and I was filling up my car, and I went to go pay at the night counter. The guy there, we just started talking, and all of a sudden, there's a guy that comes to interrupt to pay for his fuel, and I said, can you give us like 14 minutes? I didn't actually, every time they come and interrupt, then we get back into the conversation, and so it was this ongoing conversation interrupted by bits and pieces, a little bit awkward, a little bit, you know, I'm holding this guy back, but then again, what's he got that's better to do than talk to me? So we kept on talking, and eventually, we got to this point where he just started sharing about what he believes, started sharing about the God that he believes, but it wasn't our God. He started sharing about this religion and these things that were going on in his life. But we got to this point where I just so clearly heard from God. And I haven't had words of knowledge like this. I just heard God say, chronic back issue, chronic back pain. And so I just, like at this point of the conversation, I was sharing about my God, sharing about what God could do in his life. And I just said, hey, is it cool if I interrupt you? Do you have pain in your back right now? Or do you have chronic pain? Sorry, I didn't ask if it was in his back. I should have. I didn't. And he said, yeah, when I was really young, I fell over and did some damage to my back and I've had pain every single year, like the whole way through my life. And right then and there, I said, hey, God wants to heal you right now. Can I pray for you? And so we waited until the next person paid and then we prayed. And this guy, at the end of the prayer, he's just like, what did you do? What did you do? Seriously. And I was just standing there going, nothing. Seriously. He just felt like this lightness, this wind blow upon him. And I said, that is God's presence. He cares for you. He has a plan for you. And I said, hey, can I ask, is your back feeling better? And his response was, I couldn't feel a lot of pain before you started praying, so I can't give you an honest answer right now. But come back in 2 weeks, as you normally do, and we'll check. And so 2 weeks go by, and I went up and I saw the guy, and I was like, hey, how's your back? And he said, I haven't experienced a single bit of pain since you prayed for me. A single bit. It's crazy. So this guy, seriously, it's God. Why do I say these stories? It's not to boast. If anything, I'm boasting in Jesus because I'm not capable of anything. I'm just an awkward, unorthodox kind of person. But I was praying for this guy. God brought through the miracle. But why do I want to share it? It's actually because if you could see all the amount of times in between where miracles like this didn't happen, all the opportunities for me to be disappointed, there are countless stories where I didn't see a miracle right before my eyes and I could have walked away disappointed. It's okay to not see the miracle right before your eyes, but what's not okay is to walk out of that with the disappointment, with the dust, with the things that might cling to you and say, you know what, maybe God isn't going to heal in this moment. They start to question your theology around who God is. No, God is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. These things shouldn't determine who our God is. We shouldn't need to change our theology to justify why something didn't happen. We should believe that God is the same today and forever. And so I just started to realize, no, as I shake off the dust, as I begin to walk in the things that God has for me, no longer will they affect me. No longer will it take me out because three things, faith, hope, and love remain. And those are the things I want to live in forever. I don't want to be stepping in dust. I don't want to be stepping in disappointment from years ago. I don't want to be stepping in disappointment from a family situation or where someone didn't actually, I prayed for them and they laugh. I don't want to step in disappointment or hurt from any of those situations. And I don't want that to be the case for us either. And maybe for you, you've been thinking about it the whole time I've been preaching, and there's just a couple of moments where you've had that dust that's stuck with you, those moments in your life where you've carried that hurt and that pain for far too long, and God's saying, it's time to deal with it. It's time to shake it off. It's time to bring it before me and surrender it to me so I can make you whole, so I can fill you with faith to believe those dreams that I gave you years ago, to believe the things that I put in your heart years ago before you were even born. It's time now to shake the dust from our feet and to say, there is a generation that is crying out for what we have, and I can't live in it anymore. I can't live in disappointment. Come on, there is a generation that needs what we have. Dust will make you question who your God is, but He's the same forever. The world will tell us that we need to have a hard heart and soft skin, but God wants us to soften our heart to Him and have thick skin. The world tells us that we need to harden our heart if we get hurt, right? To harden our heart to those things, no, I'm going to shut that out. I can't allow that to happen. But then as we do, we soften our skin and everything hurts. Everything hurts. We're ranting on Facebook. We're saying this and that. We're getting frustrated at the small things. But if we would only soften our hearts to God, never let them grow hard, go to Him. No matter what has been going on in your life, His grace is sufficient. That dust that's been with you for years, it is time to go. God is going to free you of it. He's going to free you of it. If you would soften your heart to Him, He will thicken your skin. Nothing can hurt you when God is in you, when God is with you. And if it does, it's all right, because the joy comes in the morning. God is with us through the night. His love endures forever. If I could read that verse that I read at the start, Hebrews 12 verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Everything. I mean everything. Every single thing that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verses 2 and 3, I love this. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. For the joy set before Him, come on, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. As we fix our eyes on Him and realize He planted faith in me, He didn't just put it there purposeless, He put it there to grow until the day of completion. If we could only see that, then dreams would come alive in His people again. The church wouldn't be quiet, the church wouldn't be dusty. We will be walking in all the things that He has in store for you. It's time to get excited again. It's time to shake the dust from our feet. It's time to step into the plans He has for our lives. Come on, do you believe that? Come on, let's give God a clap of praise. Man, who loves God, eh? How good is our God? Actually, yeah, I want to change gears just a little bit here. If I could get everyone, just close your eyes for a second. I've been talking about this God tonight that has an amazing plan for each and every one of us. That's never left our side. He cares for you. He created you with a purpose. He loves you more than you could know. I made the greatest decision I've ever made and will ever make years ago when I invited Jesus into my life to have a relationship with Him. When I turned this thing that I've heard of into this thing that now became the very cause of my life, that now became the greatest thing that I could ever live for, that transformed me from the inside out, my life changed forever. And yours could too. I want to give you an opportunity tonight to invite Jesus into your life, to have a relationship with the God of the universe that cares for you more than you could know. You're not responding to this for my sake. It doesn't matter. For me, it doesn't matter. You're responding because God has been calling you by name. He's been calling you every single day. And you know what? You matter so, so much to God. You matter so much. If only you knew how much you matter in His kingdom. If only you knew. He loves you more than you could know. Warts and all, everything that we've ever done, He doesn't see it. He sees you, and His heart burns for you. He wants you. He wants a relationship with you. And so with every eye closed, I'm going to, in a second, get you to raise your hand if you want to invite him into your life. But I want to encourage you, it's the best thing you could ever do. The greatest thing. What's the worst that could happen? Nothing. What's the best? Your life will be changed forever because Jesus has a plan. And so right now, if that's you, would you be so bold as to raise your hand just so I can see it? And a couple people down the back. Yeah, I see that hand. That's awesome. Come on. Come on. That's so good. Come on. Come on. No one else is looking around. If that's you, would you raise your hand? We've got time. We've got time. No one else looking around. Once you put your hand up, you can put it right back down. Come on. A few more seconds. Greatest thing. Greatest thing you could ever do. Greatest thing. Yeah, I see that hand. Come on. Come on. Come on. All of heaven is celebrating right now because you are worth it, because Jesus cares about you enough to come and to die on a cross for you and for me. We didn't deserve what he did for us, but love was his motive, not religion, none of this stuff that you've been told about. Jesus simply loved you and decided, I want a relationship with them to the point where I will come and die for their sins so that they can be blameless, so they can be clean in my sight, so that I can have a relationship with you for all eternity. So come on, just a few more seconds. If that is you, would you raise your hand just right now so I can see it? We've got a time, just a few more seconds. Awesome. 5 more seconds. So good. I didn't see any more hands, but could we give these guys a massive hand? Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. So good. Genuinely the best decision you'll ever make. And right now, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me, to invite Jesus into our life. What's crazy about a prayer? Nothing. We're talking to our God and he responds to the hearts of his people. And so right now, why don't you close your eyes and just repeat after me. And we're going to pray this as a church family. So come on, let's all pray this out. Dear God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you care for me. Jesus, today I invite you into my life. I'm sorry for what I've done, but I thank you that you have forgiven me. I believe in you. Would you come into my life as my Lord, my Savior, my best friend? Would my life never be the same? I'm excited. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Come on, one more hand for these people.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.